And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Wait a minute. I have food in my mouth.
Well, swallow.
All right.
Quietly.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend, and we hope you can spare us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we want your participation. That's very, very important to us, because otherwise it's really not much of a game show. Anyway, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the idea is we give you questions, and then if you want, you can answer those, call us up, and you can give us a question of your own as well. So that number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. That's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear us online, you can do that anywhere in the known world just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And listen to our lovely show. If you would like to get a podcast of this lovely show afterwards, you can do that by going to kalw.org, and they can help supply you with that. So again, the number is 415-841-4134. Our lines are open. It's a great time to get in. Please give us a call as soon as you can. Sometimes it could get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, so give us a call, 415-841-4134. Okay, so we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Should he run into Queen Elizabeth during her Diamond Jubilee? Jerry Nachman is learning how to curtsy, which is not easy at his age.
Yes, difficult. Thank you, Dana. Thanks to her nifty new five-toed shoes, Pauline Teichman has doubled her ability to count the ways she loves Minds Over Matter.
Okay. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was once on a river barge, but it was carrying garbage, though he was drinking a Royal Crown Cola at the time.
All right. So that is us, and we begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, I'm going to start off with a correction, thanks to Abby and Steve. I had a question last week about what four or five different movies had in common, and it was that they all had prominent scenes on the Golden Gate Bridge. But I listed the Graduate, which they corrected me, was actually had a prominent scene on the Bay Bridge.
Right.
Okay, got that out of the way. All right. Let's see. Okay, what are the top seven most expensive original editions of books and manuscripts right now? The top seven most expensive or most valuable original editions of books and manuscripts.
Could you give us a historical framework on this at all?
Well, they go way back.
So are you talking about like things like the Gutenberg Bible? Or?
Exactly.
Okay.
Is the Gutenberg Bible one of them?
It is. Well, that's the least expensive, $5 million. That kind of thing.
What is like Da Vinci's Codex and...
Codex Hammer, number one.
How about the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Wait. I have to give the answer. $30 million, that's worth what?
Right. Dead Sea Scrolls?
No, that's a good guess, though. I'm surprised that's not on. It's not top seven, anyway. So you got two. I'm looking for five more.
Is your edition of Archie Comics number one on there?
the first edition, yeah.
Is there anything in the 20th century? Can you tell us that?
No.
All right.
Oh, wait. Well... 20th century, I don't think so. Maybe one's close, but I'm not sure when it was published.
So, like,
you already got two, for instance. Yeah.
Signed, annotated first edition of Tom Sawyer or something like that.
Yeah. None of these are because they're signed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they're probably just one-of-a-kind items. In other words, it's not like a mass, and nothing that was mass published in any way.
Well, that's a good point. Let's see. I don't know. I have no idea. If
all right.
Not mass.
I don't think Da Vinci mass published anything.
No, as we think of it, it's not. No, not
all right.
Mass. You're right.
All right. All right. Give
maybe
the question.
A couple of them more. I'm looking for the top now. The top, we got seven. We got two out of seven. Most valuable original editions of books and manuscripts. The panel got the Codex Hammer, $30 million, number one. And the least valuable, $5 million, the Gutenberg Bible.
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter, 415-841-4134. Pauline, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, well, I'm going to start by breaking the rules and asking a sports-related question. But with Tiger Woods' win today, he ties Jack Nicklaus with 73 wins on the PGA Tour. Who is the only person to have more, and how many does he have?
Read that again a little slowly. Okay.
With Tiger Woods' win today...
He won today?
Yeah, he won today. Yeah.
What did he win?
He won the Memorial event. He pulled it out in the 16th hole. An amazing shot. Anyway, okay. Right. So with his win today, he ties Jack Nicklaus with 73 wins on the PGA Tour. Who is the only person to have more, and how many does he have?
More? Well...
Because he's now tied for in second place.
Arnold Palmer?
No.
I don't know.
Jack Nicklaus. Who's the other big name?
Arnold Palmer.
Well, no, I just guessed him. Another. Right. There's a third of the Nicklaus Palmer and
Ben.
Is it more or less contemporary name?
Somebody very well known.
But he's a contemporary.
Think a little bit, tiny bit before.
Not Ben Hogan.
Someone like that. Sam Snead.
That's it.
Sam Snead.
So do you know how many?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, maybe somebody can guess that. Can I ask something else? Completely
yes.
Unrelated?
Right.
Okay, who was Mary Leona Gage? And what is she known for?
Is that two hyphenated names? Or what's it?
No, Mary, she's sometimes known just by Leona Gage or Mary Leona Gage.
Leona Gage. Why is she famous?
Why is she known?
Can you frame it in some way?
Yeah.
Just the general area?
Arts, science, you know, government, politics.
No, I'm trying to, none of those, but it has something to do with something that happens every year. But with her, it happened in 1957. Okay.
Leona,
is that anything to do with Father's Day?
No.
Or Mother's Day?
1957?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Name doesn't ring a bell.
Did she give birth to numerous children?
No.
The same time?
That's what I would expect you perhaps to know.
1957?
Something that happens once a year. For her, it happened in 1957. But...
something that happens once a year to everybody?
No.
Or to...
No. Oh. It's been... because he's asking me for a category, and I'm trying to figure out how to give you a clue without... If I say it outright, I'll give it completely away.
All right. Read the question once more, please.
Okay. Who is Mary Leona Gage?
Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Scott from San Mateo.
Hello.
A couple questions.
All right.
My first one, who was originally offered the role of Willie Loman in the original Broadway production of Death of a Salesman?
Who was the first Willie Loman?
Who was originally offered the role?
Oh, offered the role.
But turned it down.
Gosh. So Lee J. Cobb originated it, right?
Yeah, on TV too.
On TV, he was on TV also. And this is not, okay.
Was this a movie actor as well?
Well, both a movie and a stage actor.
Okay.
Movie and stage actor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could you give maybe something that person appeared in, a movie or anything like that?
In the connection with a play in another way.
This person had a connection with the play in another way.
Yeah, I'll be giving it away.
In another way? What other way?
In another way.
Gee.
You mean as in directing or something like that?
No.
I don't know.
He was a salesman.
Yeah. No.
You don't know?
No.
Why do you know why he turned it down? That might give us a little.
Well, he turned it down though, but then when he found out it was a big success, he later regretted it.
Oh, did he ever play it?
Yeah. You want me to tell you who it is?
It was not like Frederick March or anything, is it?
You tell it to yourself a bell.
He did it in the movie version of it.
Yeah, but he was really off of the world.
All right.
Okay. Good.
Here's my second question.
Mm-hmm.
What two films that both Anne Margaret and Carl Malden appeared in?
What two films Anne Margaret and Carl Malden?
Kitten with a Whip?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite titles of all time.
I know. I always throw it out. I have no idea what it's about. But
just to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know one of them is a Cincinnati kid.
Oh. Yeah. What's the other one? It's kind of tough.
Anne Margaret and Carl Malden.
Boy, let's see. Is it from the 60s or the 70s?
Yeah, from the 60s.
Man, Carl Malden, who's in so many movies in that time. And
it's a drama, I take it.
Well, sort of.
Sort of.
Can you name me one other person who was in the movie?
Oh, it might give it away. It gives you a clue. It's a secret agent adventure.
Oh, is it that one with Dean Martin?
Yeah, give it your close.
It's Matt Helm. It's one
Matt
of the
Helm
Matt
series,
Helm movies,
yeah.
But
starts with an M.
Not the Marauders. It's the no. I don't know. What is it?
You don't know what it is?
No.
It's Murderers Row.
Okay, Murderers Row.
Yeah.
Murderers Row. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. We got. All right. What food is the object of more complaints than any other in grocery stores? And there's from shoppers' complaints. What food is the
produce?
It would be produce, yeah. Actually, what food has the highest amount of complaints from grocery shoppers in the U.S.?
Peaches.
No. Raspberries.
No. All right, those are your guesses. So, what food has the highest amount of complaints from grocery shoppers in the U.S.?
This reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where Kramer bites into a melon or peach he doesn't like. He's going to hit and he says he's going to take it back.
All right. And what second question? I'm going to recuse you from this, Pauline, because you've heard this question.
Oh, okay.
What extremely popular U.S. snack food was invented at Disneyland? What extremely popular U.S. snack food was invented at Disneyland?
Is it something you buy at a counter? You can buy it in a store?
No, nowadays you just buy it in stores. It's
okay.
Packaged.
Pop-Tart?
No, it's a good guess. But no, not Pop-Tart. In the early 60s, I believe.
It's like a snack.
Oh, yeah, it's a snack food.
Yeah. Gee, I don't know. There's so many zillions of them. I don't know.
Well, all right. Again, what extremely popular U.S. snack food was invented at Disneyland?
And it's now been commercialized.
It's commercialized. You buy it in grocery stores wherever you go. Yes.
Is it a sweet item or a non-sweet item?
No, I'm not going to be any more specific right now. But it's yeah, you've had them.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
And what food is the object of more complaints? What individual food I'm looking for is the object of more complaints than any other at grocery stores in the United States? Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dave in Hayward.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I think on the Tiger Woods question, I don't think it's Ben Hogan. I think it's Sam Snead.
That's right.
Yeah, because Tiger and Jack Nicklaus have 72. Sam Snead had 82. And
Sam Snead had
82,
you know. Exactly. That was the other part. And actually, they have 73.
73, that's right. Yeah, they both had 73, so Tiger has to get to 82 to get to Sam Snead.
Though he's 10 years younger than Nicklaus was when he got the 73, so there's still a chance.
Yeah, and I think Nicklaus got his last... victory when he was 46, 10 years older than Tiger is now.
Mm.
I've got a question for you guys.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, the actor who played Scotty on Star Trek, Beam Me Up Scotty?
Mm-hmm. Right, James Doohan.
James Doohan, I think his name was.
Right.
He left instructions when he died to have something done to his remains, and I think he died in 2003. Do you know what that was?
They wanted to, he was cremated and then his remains were taken into space, and weren't they?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think they were taken into space on this new SpaceX rocket Dragon that was sent to the space station.
Okay.
And also another astronaut, but I'm not a real astronaut, but I'm not sure what his name was.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, great. So can I give you a trivia question?
Sure.
Okay. So what do these cities have in common? Mm-hmm. Joburg, South Africa. Mm-hmm. Lusaka, Zambia. Alexandria, Egypt. And Malmo, Sweden. Silence.
All right, wait a minute. I'm listening. So Johannesburg, South Africa, Lusaka, Alexandria, Egypt. What was the last one? I'm sorry?
Malmo, or Malmo in Sweden.
Okay. Are they all in the... wait a minute now. Are they all on a north-south line? Are they on the same...
Longitude?
Ah, you were far too quick. they're on the same time zone.
The same time zone. Okay. All right.
But you're too smart for me. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's see. Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. The Summer Olympics are about to start next month in London. When was the last time London hosted the Games? One guess only. And then I have a second part once you've, if you get that.
It was, I think it was right after the war. When was it? I know it was, I know they had it in 1924, because that was the Chariots of, no, that was Paris. I take
you
it
were there?
No, I wasn't there. No, I take it back. It wasn't 1924. Maybe it was 1920. Was it 1948?
It was.
That's the year.
Okay. Very good. Okay, and the second part. Now, what world record did American decathlon champion Bob Mathias break at those games?
Well, he was the track and field.
Yeah, decathlon.
High jump?
Decathlon, no.
Pole vaulting.
No, it wasn't. Just a bit of a... It wasn't an event.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a... Was it not, the amount of...
Not exactly an event.
It wasn't exactly
the amount. The amount of different sports that he was
competing.
No, decathlon's always 10. So,
I know, yeah. But right. I'm just saying maybe it was the first decathlon.
No, it didn't have to do with that.
No, I don't know. Why don't you read the question once more?
Okay, what world record in the 1948 London Olympics did American decathlon champion Bob Mathias break?
Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman. Of course, the paperback version of his book, all his books are available online. The last one being right here in our stage tonight, Ed Sullivan's America. Pauline Teichman, who's a teacher in Berkeley and a photographer as well. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Dana. This is David in San Francisco.
Hi, David.
I have two guesses and then a question for you.
Sure.
With regards to the produce question,
yes.
Would it be bananas?
It would be bananas.
What are the complaints?
The complaints are that they're brown or they have spotted or whatever. But
Bruise too easily.
They bruise too easily, but they should know. People should know that the spots on a banana mean that they're just ripe.
They're ripe. Yeah. They're not too many of them. Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry.
Freckles, they're called.
My second guess would it be the Three Musketeers that was invented at Disneyland?
No, that's a good guess, but no. Not,
okay,
not
and then I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who was the first American wounded in 1918 in World War I?
He's very well known, I assume.
A famous American.
Well, first one wounded in World War I?
He was, at the time, the youngest lieutenant in the Army.
Oh, so this is somebody who became a much more important military figure, say, in World War II?
Not at all. Not in a militaristic sense.
Oh.
Like president or something?
Not. It's like Harry Truman, maybe?
It wasn't his claim to fame.
Wasn't his claim to fame. The military was not his claim to fame.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
He also recovered and in Milan at the new. He was an American Red Cross.
Oh, Ernest Hemingway.
There you go. Give yourself a bell.
First one injured?
Yeah, he's the first American wounded in near Piave in
really.
Italy.
Okay.
And went to was one of the first patients in the hospital that was newly built in Milan.
Was that in that TV movie? Was that?
No, that's in his actually in Hemingway's Boat, the book about PR.
Oh, uh-huh.
And,
okay.
And some other and some other books his sons have written.
Oh well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a list of some actors who starred in films with oxymoronic titles and ask you to name the film. So I'm limiting you to one each, one apiece.
So can you give us an example of what an oxymoron is?
I can. Okay, so my example would be Michael J. Fox, and so the film would be Back to the Future, which is an oxymoron.
Oh, you mean the title is oxymoron.
Right, that's what I said,
oxymoron. Okay, all right, I got it.
Okay.
All right. So number one, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Number two, Andrew,
eyes wide shut.
That's yours then. Okay.
Okay.
Michael Keaton. Number three, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Number four, John Travolta. Number five, Sean Connery, and number six, Dustin Hoffman.
All right,
there's more, but
go over the list again. Okay.
Michael Keaton, Arnold Schwarzenegger, John Travolta, Sean Connery, and Dustin Hoffman, and.
I'll shut up.
Yes, Jerry already got his with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, eyes wide shut.
Mm-hmm. Michael Keaton. So could you qualify as Mr. Mom? Would
that's
that
it. That's yours.
Oh, very good.
Good for you.
Excellent.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Spontaneously, when you said something about product, oh dear, I think that's an echo of me. Oh, wow. Anyway, I first thought of milk, which would go badly, but I then thought of bananas, but somebody else thought of it. How about caramel corn?
Oh, good. That's a good guess. Also a good guess, but no, not caramel corn.
All right, and how about the fact that Arnold was in Twins with that little rascal, you know?
He was in Twins, but that's not an oxymoron.
It seems strange to see them together, though.
Right, yeah.
That's okay. True. It's certainly an oxymoronic visual.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's see. Should I do this question or not? All right, I will.
No, don't.
All right. These are the maybe 2 months ago, I asked a question on the most forged American artist of all time, and it was Frederick Remington. I'm just going to tell you that up front so you get that out of the way. I got that from a list of the 10 most forged artists of all time. So that's why Jerry's making a face.
I'm not making a face.
So
it's just my face.
Okay. So again, these are I'm looking for the 10 most forged artists. I should say 9 because I've taken Frederick Remington off of it. So who are the 9 most forged artists? They're all famous names.
But are they all American or not?
None of them are American.
Okay, because you said... Okay.
No. I just gave you the one American on the list.
Salvador
earlier.
Dali?
Salvador Dali is one. I should say the number one, it was funny to read that the number one artist on this list, and there is something in the San Francisco Museum, probably more than one thing by him, has about... Let's see, about 400 things attributed to him that have been verified. And there are supposedly about 8,000 of his paintings that are in various private collections and museums that are actually forged.
Well, just run down the Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
Pablo Picasso?
No. Okay. So, all right, you each have... I'll give another guess, Jerry. Go ahead.
Warhol?
No. So far we have Van Gogh and Salvador Dali. So who are the other of the nine most forged artists of
all
time?
Now, there are a lot of I'm not guessing again. I'm just making a point.
No.
There are a lot of Rembrandts that are copies, but I don't know if they're considered forgeries because his students did them, but they didn't try to pawn them off.
Yeah, but no, not.
And they're just not recognized.
Not as Rembrandt.
Non-Rembrandts.
No.
Okay.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you...
I know I am.
Okay, good.
Well,
that's one of us. Two of us. And...
Majority.
As I said, we're here every Sunday at 7. I've told you who's on the panel, but we are on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Michigan.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. The snack food invented at Disneyland, is it Cracker Jack?
It is not Cracker Jack.
That's been around for 100 years, I think.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
Cracker Jack is definitely older than Disneyland.
All right. And the decathlon question, is it something to do with his age?
It is. It does. It
oh,
is.
Oh, okay.
Is he the oldest?
The oldest?
The oldest.
The oldest one to do.
Yeah.
No. No, no. Mm-mm.
Then go the opposite way. That's my advice.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So was he the youngest then?
He was the youngest male to win a gold medal. He was 17.
All right. Well, I couldn't have done it without our last call.
Yeah, I guess so. Right. Okay. He didn't take the bait, but okay. That's right.
All right.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelson-Riddle.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I would like to give you a historical quote, and you tell me who said it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The quote is, "What is America but beauty queens, millionaires, stupid records, and Hollywood?"
Oh.
Not me.
This was said by somebody who was not an American?
Right.
It sounds fairly contemporary.
Oh, the beauty queens.
Beauty
right?
queens. Run through the list again.
Okay. What is America but beauty queens, millionaires, stupid records, and Hollywood?
It's not somebody like George Bernard Shaw.
No,
that's not like his language. He wouldn't use the word like stupid, I don't think.
That would be more elegant.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you tell us how old the quote is?
Yes, it was said in 1940.
Oh, 40. Wow.
And
oh.
Did you say, is it an American?
It's not an American.
It's not somebody like Hitler or Mussolini, is it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Someone like that.
All right. Is it, I'll say Hitler.
Yes, you're right.
All right.
Excellent.
Well, I got to say, that's the first thing I can agree with him on.
Mussolini would be, probably put him in more tolerant of beauty queens.
All right. Well, I'm impressed once again.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Wow, that's, well, she whiz.
And let's see. Jerry, it's your turn.
Wow, okay. What are the top 10 worst air quality countries?
Mexico?
No.
China?
Yes. China, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 worst. China, yeah.
Right, China. And, let's think. China... industrialized
Pauline?
Country.
I don't know. I was sure about Mexico because Mexico's got...
Yeah, it's known to be, but it's not. Maybe it's 11. I don't know.
Okay. India.
India, no.
All right. Is there anything in the North or South America on there? Just out of curiosity.
Well, that's a big clue, but I'll let you have it. No.
Okay. I didn't think there would be. All right. Read the question once more, please.
What are the top 10 worst air quality countries? Dana got China, number five.
How about Nigeria?
Number six. Nigeria is number 7.
All right.
Niger. Wait, that's different.
I'll take it.
Niger. I'm sorry. Couldn't read my own handwriting.
It's right next door.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Nigeria.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
I'll take a guess on Jerry's air quality question.
Okay.
How about Pakistan?
Number two.
Very good.
All right. There you go. Okay, so I've got a question for you guys.
Stupnagel and Bud.
Nope.
All right, fine.
Who was the first actor to portray Philip Marlowe on screen in the movies, on screen in television, and on radio?
So you're looking for three different actors.
I'm looking for the one who was first in the movies, one was first on radio, and one was first on television.
Okay. Well, that's a little...
This is right up your alley.
That's a little dicey.
Falcon doesn't count.
Okay. All right. That was going to be my... Because George Sanders did a version of Murder My Sweet as the Falcon.
On TV?
No, in the movies.
Kill. Okay. Time to Kill also doesn't count. Actually named Philip Marlowe.
Okay. So in that case, you'd have to say, is it George Montgomery, Brasher, Doubloon?
No, it's not George Montgomery.
All right. Then
3 years before that.
3 years before that. Oh, then, of course, Dick Powell in Murder, My Sweet.
That's right.
All right. Okay. So.
TV. What about TV?
TV. That's tough.
Yeah, because it was from an anthology called Climax.
Is he fairly still well known, the TV actor?
Yes.
Yes.
It was 1954.
54.
I was just saying Vincent Price for some reason that came to mind.
No, it's going to be an American. This person was probably in the movies too, right?
Price was American.
Yeah, but no, he's not that Philip Marlowe.
He's not the type. No, okay. No.
Yeah.
Or you can go for radio.
Richard Widmark.
No.
Yeah, maybe you should go for radio. Who was Philip Marlowe on radio?
Well, Dick Powell played him all kinds of, but he didn't play him, I think.
First one.
Falcon.
Gerald Moore? No.
No.
He didn't.
No, but he was on radio.
He was.
Not Widmark. Let's see.
No. All right. TV. Can you give us any sort of hint on the TV one?
Sure. He was one time married to Joan Blondell.
Oh, Dick Powell again?
Yep, Dick Powell.
So that means that Dick Powell was also on the radio as well?
First one on radio as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Powell.
All right, good.
Well, he played what? He played Richard Diamond, and then he played another radio guy.
Yeah, so he was the first Philip Marlowe in all the areas. That's interesting. Okay.
Well, I got a little follow-up here.
All right.
Dick Powell also did the audition show, I don't know if it was ever broadcast, for a famous radio character who was on a long-running show with multiple actors. But he was the first one to ever actually voice him. And it has one of the most hilarious names in all of radio.
Wait, I didn't get the first part of that. Would you
go over there for Jerry again?
Yeah.
Okay. Dick Powell did the audition show for a radio series. It was a long-running radio series.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was ever broadcast, but he did the first audition show in 1948. And 48. I want you to see if you can tell me what the name of the show is.
And what was the name? The character's name was a very funny name?
The title was a very funny name, the character's name is in the title.
Not the Great Gildersleeve. He wouldn't play. I can't imagine him playing a comedy part.
Was it...
It's not a comedy. It's not we would think that the name of the show is funny today.
Oh, I see.
I see. Okay.
No, yeah, I can't see him...
Life with Luigi.
A couple of the other actors who portrayed him.
Plum and Abner.
Yeah, give us one of the other actors who portrayed him.
Edmund O'Brien.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
He was in everything.
Yeah, he was. He played a detective on radio, Edmund O'Brien.
Did he?
This was a detective, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With a funny name, but it's not a funny show. Is that right?
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. No,
there you go. That's the one.
Was that it? Okay.
And who is it? Edmund O'Brien played that.
Yeah, and Bob Bailey played him probably the longest.
Yeah, Bob Bailey played him way longer. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye bye. And we're about a little past halfway through. Let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Well, I'm looking for the question was the top seven most valuable original editions of books and manuscripts. We've got three of them, actually two of them only. The first valuable Codex Hammer, worth $30 million, and the and the seventh one, which is the Gutenberg Bible, worth $5 million. So I'm looking for the other five. And I'm looking for the top 10 worst air quality countries. We've got Pakistan, China, and Niger. I guess that's all.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm looking for who was Mary Leona Gage, and since it's the second half, I'm going to give a hint. So she was a winner of something that takes place every year. But,
oh, the Pillsbury contest.
No.
Bake Off. No.
No.
Oh,
but there's
that's a good
more
guess,
to it.
Though,
but to very good guess.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you some actors who starred in films with oxymoronic titles. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, John Travolta, Sean Connery, and Dustin Hoffman. And we've already gotten Michael Keaton for Mr. Mom and Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman for Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay. And what am I still looking for? What extremely popular U.S. snack food was invented at Disneyland in the early 60s? What extremely popular U.S. snack food, available in stores everywhere, was invented at Disneyland? And I have a list of the 10 most forged artists of all time. I will say there are no Americans on the list, so don't waste your time there. So far we have Salvador Dali and Van Gogh, and okay.
How about, Twinkie, Snowball? Twinkies?
They're not the forged artists, no.
They're what?
No, not the Twinkie or the Snowball.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Should I give you I'll give you a hint. It's not sweet.
Okay, that's a good hint.
All right. Mm. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hey, good.
So I have a question and see if you have just one answer. If not, the audience may be able to answer. Tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a lunar eclipse. The moon is going to go through a lunar eclipse, where the Earth will come between the sun and the moon. It is called the strawberry moon. Do you know one?
Strawberry moon.
Right.
No.
Little black spots on it.
No. Okay. Well, I'll give you the answer for that one. It happened to be the shortest time where you can actually harvest strawberries.
Oh.
And it happened only in the month of June. So we'll give you that. Then the question that you only have one chance. What is a blue moon and what is a harvest moon?
A blue moon is when a full moon occurs
twice
in the same
month.
Month,
yeah.
Okay, what about harvest moon?
Harvest moon seems to me it's like
that's a
larger than usual appearance.
You have really two very good questions.
It's like larger than usual in appearance, the harvest moon?
No. The second country with the highest number of HIV positive, what country is it? The first one is in Africa, either Botswana or... Mm-hmm. Or
I think South Africa is the highest number.
Okay, so what's the second? It's not in Africa.
Is it Zimbabwe?
No, it's not in Africa.
It's not in Africa.
Very surprisingly, very high number.
All right, so are you thinking the United States then?
No. United States have a fairly good number, but much less than this country.
Well, I could guess different countries, but no, I better not. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to give you the answer?
Yes.
India. Oh. India, which is really unbelievable. Okay, last very quick question. You talk about banana early, and maybe you should avoid eating bananas for a while because of that Japanese nuclear accident.
Mm.
Because, as you know, all of us know that we eat banana to get potassium. So this element from Japan, radioactive, made it all the way up to the Americas. You know which element is it? It actually acts as potassium in bananas.
Magnesium.
Take a couple of guesses in this one. Because, you know, they mentioned it's not iodine, it's not strontium, it is not many other, but it have one single valency, so it's the same as potassium, and it actually does. There is a higher rate of radioactivity coming from bananas harvest in the United States and South America.
Selenium.
Huh?
Selenium.
No, it's not selenium. Very important sound, but it's not selenium.
Okay.
What is it? Single valency, covalency, and it's the same as sodium and potassium.
I don't think we know.
We do not know.
Leave it to the audience if somebody gets it.
All right, we will.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
And Pauline, I think it's your turn.
Okay. By what name is the actor born Colin Lionel M. better known?
Could you spell last name? Lionel, like Lionel.
Lionel,
Trains?
Like Lionel Trains, yes. And M E M M.
What, actor born Cornell?
No, Colin.
Colin.
Lionel M.
Is this person still alive?
No. Colin, very recently, though.
Colin Lionel.
Very recently died.
Mm-hmm.
Was he American?
No. Well, he became naturalized American, but no.
It's not Richard Dawson, is it?
Yes, it is. Richard Dawson.
Who died today, yes. Or yesterday.
Oh, he did.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Mm. Okay, so I'm going to ask a follow-up question.
Right.
What lovable character did he play in Hogan's Heroes?
He played Newkirk.
Peter Newkirk, that's right. And what role did he play on the Dick Van Dyke Show?
We only had a one shot, or maybe he was on twice. He was
such a student of
he was yeah. He was a British TV personality,
yes,
who was trying to put the make on Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, or Laura. Yes.
Very good. Very good.
I'm trying to think of his name though. I don't really remember
the name
that.
Of the character. Well, maybe somebody else.
Well, that's
there.
Good enough, isn't it?
Jeez. No, I want somebody else. I'm sure somebody else.
He was guest starring on the Alan Brady
exactly.
Show.
Exactly. think about it. He had a nickname on the show also.
Like, oh, I don't remember.
Because he was so...
Oh, right. He was grabby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Good that. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Is this me?
It is you.
This is Peter in San Francisco. I was wondering if the snack food might have been named for Mickey and Minnie Mouse.
No, it was not named for Mickey or Minnie Mouse.
What would that be?
The snack food, the one that was invented at Disneyland.
No, but what is he thinking of? What snack food?
I don't know.
Has to do with Mickey Mouse.
I don't know.
No,
but no, it's not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. What was the first country, and this is just as of last year, first country in the world to impose a fat tax? A fat tax. A tax on fattening foods. What was the first country in the world to impose a tax on fattening foods? It happened in 2011.
Western country?
It is a Western country. One of the Western countries, as in, if you take in, you know, all industrialized kind of countries.
Sweden.
No, not Sweden.
France.
No. France, they would never
They would never.
Well,
they're
making all this fuss about Nutella and the fat content of Nutella.
That's just because it's not French.
Nutella.
Yeah. Anyway, what was the first country in the world to impose a fat tax for fatty foods? And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Got a couple of guesses.
Mm-hmm.
Was Mary Leona Gage the first Miss America?
She wasn't the first, but she was definitely she was Miss USA. But there was something that she's. Actually, two things that she's known for. So,
she's Miss USA.
She was a Miss USA in 1957.
That she's known for.
That's tonight, by the way. Miss USA. Oh, Miss Universe. Miss USA. I'm sorry.
And she made it to the top 15 of Miss Universe, but was disqualified.
Ooh.
Oh, she was married.
She was married and had
a child.
She had two children. She was only 18. She was married, had two children,
okay.
And. So follow up on that. She's the
Miss
only.
Universe, you
she's
be
the
married.
Only winner of Miss USA to ever come from which state?
Oh. Okay, Greg, are you listening?
Utah.
No.
Rhode Island.
No.
Delaware.
That's it for you guys.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The Canal Zone. All right. So just to ask the question once more that you watched what you want. She was the only...
She was the only Miss USA winner ever from what state?
What state, okay.
Mary Leona right. Gage.
Up until tonight, possibly. Never know.
Yeah. Never
Keep
know.
Your fingers crossed. Alaska.
No, and I said no more guesses, but no.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's see. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
On the oxymoronic movie title.
Yes.
Well, Schwarzenegger was in True Lies.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Sean Connery, were you thinking of Never Say Never Again?
Or? I wasn't.
Oh.
But
maybe that doesn't quite qualify.
But that seems like it would, actually. Because if you never say it, you wouldn't say it again.
And so I don't know if this qualifies either. It's Dustin Hoffman, Kramer versus Kramer.
No.
It's not quite. Okay, and Travolta, I only know moronic movies that he was in.
Are there any other kind? Maybe?
I have a question.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago when Dana was gone, I called in with a question about the origin of the star in the Macy's logo. And the answer was it was a whaling tattoo on Roland Macy, who was a young Nantucket whaler who went to sea and got a sailor's tattoo.
Well, I wished you had called in when I was here because I actually knew that.
You knew that.
Yeah.
Waited until you were gone.
So I have other Nantucket whaling questions, a question. Two big coffee companies have connections to Nantucket whaling? One is a direct connection, and the other is a real connection. The other is through fiction.
Well, Starbucks, of course.
Right.
Named after the first officer of the Pequod.
Yeah.
Second officer, first officer.
Yeah, there's more to that one also, but... There were three big families, prominent families in Nantucket. One was Starbucks, one was the Macy's, and the third one was this other...
How about Folgers?
Folger.
Sorry, I can't pronounce it right, but I know it.
It's clear you're not a Bay Area native.
Definitely not.
Do you know the connection with Folger? Or?
I do not.
That's the more direct connection. That's the San Francisco connection, because a lot of whaling vessels, when the gold rush happened, they hailed it for San
Francisco. Oh, yeah, good point.
And
good
one
point.
Of them was Folger's. One of the Folgers was on board, and so started that coffee company.
Right. And so, the ships would come, and they would just be abandoned when everybody went to the gold fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Starbucks were also a family, and also became a character. And there was a Peleg Folger. There was a Peleg who was a character in Moby Dick, and the Starbucks was a character in Moby Dick, And the Starbucks, the people in Seattle who started Starbucks, were Moby Dick fans, and they were thinking about calling the company Pequod, and instead decided Starbucks.
Better.
Yes, good choice.
Good choice.
Could have been Ahab's.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Price Weldy. I'd called earlier with the Hemingway question.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask if I could answer Ede's question. Would it be cesium with regards to bananas?
Well, it could be. You should say it in a very definite way, and then Ede won't call back and and say, no, you were wrong.
Well, your show is so great. That is what I would guess, and I hope Ede calls back.
I think we should give the man a bell.
Thank you for the compliment. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks a lot. And let's see. No, only 10 minutes left. Would anybody like to volunteer to throw in something quickly?
I'm sure.
It's not a children's literature question.
It's not a children's
literature question. Oh, I like those questions.
Jeez. Okay. Name this actress who once described herself as the only sex symbol Britain has produced since Lady Godiva.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's late in the show, I'll give you a hint that it somehow ties into one of my earlier questions.
Oh, is it Deanna Doors?
Yes, it is.
Because she was married to Richard Dawson.
Diane, oh. Yeah, Diane Doors, absolutely.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Diana Doors.
Oh, it's a Diane thing, so.
No, it's Diana.
Okay. They had it wrong.
The kind of the sneezy.
Yeah.
The downscale Marilyn Monroe type.
B-movie thriller.
Well, it sounds as if, you know, had she not sort of, you know, been controlled by her first husband, she probably could have had a much more successful
career. I don't think so. She was a real bimbo type.
Really?
Yeah, I remember her anyway.
Well, she came along when that fad was fading.
Jane Mansfield, she was like a second-rate Jane Mansfield, really.
Right.
As I remember.
Yeah.
Who was second-rate Marilyn Monroe.
She made a few films in the U.S., but never hit it big.
No.
All right, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
I had a couple other guesses.
Mm-hmm.
For air quality country.
Yeah.
Poland.
What was that again?
Poland.
No.
Okay. For most valuable first edition.
Yeah.
The Divine Comedy.
No.
Oh, that was a good one.
Okay.
The Bible. Nobody said the Bible.
No. Gutenberg's Bible.
No, the first edition of the Bible.
No, that's not on here.
All right, fine. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And for most forged artist, how about Corot?
Yes, Corot is number one, actually.
Really?
Yes.
He's pretty easy to do, I guess.
It's all stick figures. Yes, Corot is number one. Very good.
And I got a couple more of those co-author questions, if you're up for them.
Yeah, go ahead.
For Pauline's benefit, I'll explain.
Oh, yeah, no, I listened last week and I loved them.
Good.
Well, for the benefit of the audience, tell them what you're looking for.
All right, I'm going to give the names of two authors of works of literature, and I want the name of the work they would have produced had they
been
co-authors.
Okay.
So the first two are Thomas Hardy and Richard Wright.
Oh, Return of the Native Son.
Excellent.
All right.
Edmund Spencer and Anne Rice.
Oh, The Fairy Queen of the Damned.
Perfect. Jules Verne and Somerset Maugham.
Wait a minute now, let me think. It's like 20,000, no.
Leaves on your scene, Around the World.
Around the World.
No, Somerset Maugham, no.
Well, yeah, the Days thing. Around the World in 88 Days of, Al something?
No.
It's
something with Days, isn't it?
Is it 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and something?
No.
No, okay. Jules Verne, Journey to the Center.
No.
I can't.
Not his best known work.
Oh, The Mysterious Island?
No.
Jules Verne. Oh, From the Earth to the Moon?
Yes. And?
And Sixpence.
And Sixpence.
And Sixpence, yeah.
H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw.
Oh. Arms and the Man Who Could Work Miracles?
No.
That's good.
Though there's...
That's very good.
Well, not the one I'm thinking of.
Good.
Okay. Things to Come. Who were the? I'm sorry. Who was first there?
H.G. Wells. And
okay. Let's see. No. Give us a hint on this.
See, it turns on the same word as that last guest.
Okay, which one is?
No.
All right. I'll give you the Wells part of it as The Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man and Superman.
Yes.
All right.
This next one is a threefer. Got three writers. Beryl Markham, Virginia Woolf, and Nathaniel West.
Ooh.
What was the first author?
Beryl Markham.
Is that Beryl Markham? Is that like West with the Night?
Yes.
West with the Night. Who was the second one? I'm sorry.
Virginia Woolf.
Night and Day.
Yes.
West with the Night and Day of the Locust.
Perfect.
Never heard of Night and Day.
Yeah, one of her lesser known.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
But it works for this purpose.
All right. Good.
And Henry James and C.S. Lewis.
Henry James.
The Beast in the Jungle. What's the second part? Jungle.
No.
This. I got it. The Screwtape.
You're on the right track.
Yeah. I'm sorry. C.S. Lewis.
Return of the Screwtape Letters.
Return of the Screwtape Letters. Yeah.
And the last one I'll give you is not really fair in that there are, again, three authors. Two of them did work as co-authors in their work, and they're not really, the names are not really known, but their work is very well known and more in a scholastic venue than literature.
Hmm.
We're looking for Herman Melville and William S. Gray and Zerna Sharp.
Oh, no, I'm not going to get this. I'm not going to get this.
No, we don't know.
No. I'm not familiar enough with the
never heard of the
with the last two. I've heard of them, but I'm not. I couldn't give you a list of their works or anything.
But the answer is so good, I had to give it.
All right.
Moby Dick and Jane.
Okay.
Oh, very good.
Good job.
As a teacher, I should have known the other one.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Bye bye. All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I believe that's me.
It is you.
Okay, for the oxymoronic movie titles. Yes, are you there?
Yes,
yes,
right
I
here.
Am, absolutely.
Sounded like a silence. Dustin Hoffman, Little Big Man.
Absolutely.
Oh, good job, good
and
job.
Could you, Forged Artist, possibly Chagall?
Not Chagall.
Okay. Could you run through the movie people again?
Oh, we'd like to, but we've only got 2 minutes left, so we're out of time. So
okay.
We can't do it today.
I'll just leave well enough alone.
Oh, thank you very much.
You did very well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we better clean up here. What do we have?
Okay, the top seven most valuable original editions of books and manuscripts are Codex Hammer, followed by Rothschild Prayer Book, which I'd never heard of, 13 million, Gospels of Henry the Lion, also have not heard of, Audubon's Birds of America, which I have heard of, 8 million, and Canterbury Tales, 7 million, and Shakespeare's First Folio, 6 million. The other top 10 worst air quality countries are, in order, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Albania, Egypt, Mali, China, Niger, Chad, Sudan, and Indonesia.
Okay, so the actors in the oxymoronic titles, we got that one, John Travolta in Urban Cowboy, and Sean Connery in Wrong is Right, and Mary Leona Cage is from Maryland.
Okay. The first country to impose a fat tax was Denmark, 2011. Oh. 10 most forged artists of all time, Corot, Dali, Daumier, Van Gogh, Chirico, Malevich, Modigliani, Remington, Rodin, and Utrillo. The extremely popular snack food invented at Disneyland were Doritos. Doritos.
Oh.
And if we did not get your call, we do apologize, or if I went too fast for you, you can always email me. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Jerry Nachman and Pauline Teichman and myself, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to the lovely, lovely Debbie Kennedy, who does so much to make this such a pleasant experience for us. And, of course, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Now, race home and go watch Miss USA, and because that's what I'm going to do. So take care, everybody, and we will be here next week. Bye-bye.
Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other?